Welcome. We are going to jump right into a message that really resonated across the Christian community. It's Brother Mike's address from December 14th, 2025, titled Our Greatest Weakness. And it feels like a foundational blueprint for, you know, for navigating Christian perseverance in what he called today's dark world.
It's the perfect time to reflect on this. He opened with the backdrop of Christ's birth, reminding us of that beautiful line about the hopes and fears of all the years meeting in Bethlehem.
Right.
And that truth that the Savior has appeared, that's the anchor. It shifts the whole conversation from passive hope to active spiritual warfare.
Exactly. Because if the King has come, then why are we still living in defeat?
That's the question.
And that's really our mission today. We want to extract Brother Mike's strategy for every believer, how to identify, confront, and ultimately demolish these internal strongholds that hold us back.
This is so critical. I mean, if you're serious about growth and you want to move past that feeling of being stuck, you have to know where the surrender is happening.
Okay, so let's start where he starts, with defining success. I found his use of, well, secular examples of tenacity to be just brilliant.
Oh, it was.
He had to establish that the greatest weakness isn't one specific sin, but just the simple temptation to give up.
It just hammers home that success in any field is tied to persistence.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't about being the smartest. It's about being the last one standing.
He used Thomas Edison. You know, Edison documented over 1,000 attempts just to find the right filament for the light bulb.
1,000. Imagine.
When someone asked him about all his failures, he said it wasn't 1,000 failures, it was one success.
Yeah.
That feeling of failure is just another step. And the principle Brother Mike pulled from that was the most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time.
And that mindset, that refusal to accept defeat, connects directly to faith. Look at Michael Jordan.
Right. His pinnacle example.
When you actually list his stats, they are just, they're staggering.
Yeah.
We all remember the big moments, the game winners. But the reality, Jordan was cut from his high school team. In his professional career, he missed over 9,000 shots. He admitted to losing over 300 games.
And the number that really gets me is that he missed the winning shot when everyone was counting on him. 26 times.
26 times. The public failure, the weight of that, it's a crucible.
It is.
And his conclusion is what matters for us. He said, I have failed over and over and over. That's why I succeed. I'm the last one to quit. And Brother Mike uses that to set the spiritual stage. Victory doesn't belong to the most gifted, but to the one who refuses to let go of the promise.
That refusal is the prerequisite for demolishing the internal enemy. That's the perfect transition, because now we shift from that physical, athletic tenacity to spiritual confrontation.
Right.
It demands that same refusal to quit when it comes to our inner lives. Brother Mike connects this persistence to dealing with our ingrained attitudes.
Mm. And those attitudes eventually become our personal traits, our identities, all rooted in what he calls strongholds.
We have to define that term because stronghold gets thrown around a lot.
We do. The biblical foundation is right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says our weapons are mighty for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments.
Arguments. I think we often forget that part. It's not just the action. It's the justification we build around it.
Exactly. It's the lies we tell ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Mike defined a stronghold not as just a bad habit, but a sin or a sinful attitude that has been fortified.
Fortified.
Strengthened by our choices, by our experiences, until it feels impossible to overcome. It becomes this fortress in your spirit, becomes part of your personality.
So it goes from, I sometimes struggle with anger, to I'm just an angry person. The identity shifts.
And that fortified attitude becomes the lens through which you see and filter everything in life.
Hmm.
If that core worldview is unchristian or cynical, then every single interaction, every response will be filtered through that broken lens.
So let's talk about the specific lenses Brother Mike saw dominating our culture, the ones feeding these strongholds. He pointed out two major ungodly worldviews.
The first one, and it's probably the most insidious in a consumer society, is entitlement.
Ah, yes.
It's that attitude of, I deserve this.
Yeah.
That deeply self-centered idea that it's all about me.
And that just, it prevents gratitude, it short-circuits service.
Completely. If you believe you deserve something, you stop seeking God's provision and you start resenting the world when it doesn't give it to you.
Okay, and the second one, this is where he was really direct about the environment we're in, the danger of political correctness.
And we have to be clear here. He wasn't just talking about culture wars. He's talking about a spiritual posture.
Right.
He argued that many believers are being terribly maneuvered, steered, and managed by what we see and hear in the news. The stronghold isn't a policy. It's allowing that external influence to dictate your emotional responses.
Which leads to ungodly and unbiblical assessments of other people.
That's the core of it. The problem is when the daily headlines become a stronger authority for your attitude than the Word of God.
You're letting the world's outrage cycle define your moral grid. And that attitude is almost certainly unbiblical.
Precisely. Biblical scholars will define a stronghold as a mindset impregnated with hopelessness.
Hopelessness.
It makes us accept things that are contrary to God's will. We start thinking this problem is too big or I can't change.
And once that hopelessness takes root, the specific fortresses pop up. He listed the common ones: fear, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness,
pride, greed, materialism, discrimination. And these aren't just occasional lapses. These strongholds determine who you are when you're under pressure.
Let's get into the mechanics of how the enemy works then. Brother Mike says strongholds are territory that you have surrendered to Satan.
It's anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, causing you to experience the exact opposite of what God promises.
And can be small compromises, right? He used the example of foul language in the workplace.
Yes. If you're a believer, but you just tell yourself, well, that's just how it is here, you're accepting a standard that says no to God's standard.
So a stronghold is basically any problem you've allowed to seem bigger than God's ability to fix it.
Exactly.
Which brings up that critical transition from a foothold to a stronghold. We tend to think Satan is always after our soul, but once we're saved, the strategy changes.
It changes completely. He knows he's lost the eternal battle for the soul. Wow. So he focuses 100% on harvesting the scraps. The Christian's life on earth, specifically the mind and the flesh. His goal shifts from ownership to, well, interference. He wants to make your life so ineffective that you become a poor witness.
It's that military analogy he used. A foothold is temporary. It's like pitching tents.
Right, a quick camp, but a stronghold.
Yeah.
That's the full fortification. You're cutting down trees, you're building tall, strong walls, you're reinforcing the position.
And here's the observation from Brother Mike that was, frankly, it was devastating. He said, every single time we commit a sin, we are laying a couple more bricks for Satan. We're strengthening the wall around that sin.
Every time. That little compromise, that moment of unforgiveness you hold on to, it's physical reinforcement of the barrier you've allowed him to build.
It makes Paul's cry in Romans 7 so much more visceral. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death.
Yes.
He wasn't just lamenting his sin. He felt like he was actively building his own prison walls, even while he longed for freedom. That is the believer living under a stronghold.
So we have to stop making excuses. We have to stop laying the bricks. Brother Mike warned that these structures cannot be reasoned away.
You can't just talk them out of existence.
No. They require aggressive, active demolition, brick by brick, stone by stone, like the walls of Jericho.
So we need to know what our demolition equipment is. What's the weaponry?
The primary weapon is the word of truth.
Simple as that.
We're reminded that Jesus, when he was fighting the devil in the wilderness, he didn't use spectacle, he used the word. When Satan tried to manipulate scripture, Jesus countered with, "It is written." If you don't know the truth, you can't counter the lie.
And knowing the word gives us the plan for demolition, which he laid out from James chapter 4.
It's a clear twofold strategy. First, you have to correct your relationship with God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God.
And then immediately after that,
resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice the order. The devil only flees after submission and after active resistance.
And the second part of that plan addresses our attachment to the old life, which is the foundation of the stronghold.
Yes. James is talking to the double-minded, the ones still mourning the life they left behind. The demand is absolute. You must bury your old lifestyle.
He used that Old Testament analogy from Leviticus about the priest not being able to enter God's presence if he touched anything dead.
The visual is just staggering. If you are still clinging to old habits, old resentments, if you're still touching dead things, you're making yourself unfit for God's presence.
It's that final, complete break. You can't carry the corpse of your past into the presence of the living God. That burial is the turning point.
Which brings us to the final and most dramatic metaphor Brother Mike used. If those old issues, fear, bitterness, whatever it is, if they still reign in your life, if they're still on the throne of your heart,
yes,
then spiritually speaking, Christ is still on the cross.
That's a staggering visualization. We celebrate the resurrection, but if we let the old man rule, we are symbolically keeping Christ confined.
Our ultimate job, your job, is to complete that spiritual transaction.
You have to put Christ on the throne and your past on the cross. The resurrected king needs the seat of authority in your decisions.
And as you start this process, know that God is gracious with the history the enemy uses against you, the shame, the regret. God takes the sting out of that painful memory.
He leaves the sweet taste of the victory.
Only that.
And that taste of victory is the motivation. The entire journey Brother Mike laid out, it all comes down to one choice, a challenge he ended with for every one of us. Am I a Christian or am I just pretending?
It's not about doctrine. It's about fruit and action. It urges you to do an honest inventory.
Look at your relationships, your influences, what you consume. Are they helping you demolish fear and entitlement?
Or are they leading you to lay more bricks for Satan?
If the things you watch and the people you're with reinforce a worldview that says, I deserve it, or I must react in fear, then you're actively supporting the stronghold.
The choice is crystal clear. Will you keep surrendering the territory Christ already purchased for you? Or will you engage in the demolition that faith requires? It all starts with the decision to try just one more time.